We welcome you this morning. I would call your attention to the announcements. If you turn to the back of your bulletin, we need to add a couple of announcements to this list. But we put some dates on for December that you can put on your calendar and trust that you can participate as appropriate. The open house at the Barthelemy's on December 3rd. It's a Thursday. And then the adults activity slash white elephant kind of deal on the 19th. And then December 20th, our family night, Christmas service. And I would just encourage you to think about what you can do to participate in that service, something that your family or you or a group that you're in can do with regard to songs or scripture or some kind of readings or something that pertains to the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus Christ. So if you can do something to participate in that, it's our service as a family. And so we would encourage you to talk to me about that, and we'll get you something to do then. But think about December 20th for that. The Pastoral Search Committee continues its work. A number of people have asked what we're doing. We're not sure what we're doing, are we, Sam? But we meet every now and then anyhow. But we do have a meeting today after this service, and so we would encourage your continued prayers. We have a number of resumes we're looking at to see, and we're convinced that somewhere the Lord has a man for us. And so we will try to be diligent in our end of it, and we ask that you would continue to pray for the search committee for wisdom. A couple of other announcements. Dale has posted a sign-up list. We're trying to redo our substitute teacher list for Sunday school. Rather than just wait till Sunday morning and pick somebody out of the hallway to teach a class, we would like to have perhaps some regular substitutes that can the teacher, when they're absent, can call and make it a little bit more organized and perhaps a little bit better for some of the students. So if you can help us with one of the classes that you would be willing to substitute on a not very often basis, but if needed, there's a sign-up sheet by class, I imagine, and so you can sign that up. And if you have questions, you can talk to Dale about that. And they probably can still use some more help at the Westwood Club on Thursday, although they'll not have it this week. But just come and sit with the children just to kind of keep order so that the teaching and the other activities can go on better. So if you can help for an hour or so Thursday afternoon after school, I know they would appreciate that. And if you have questions on that, you can talk to Doris about that. Something to do this Tuesday. I was reminded in a magazine that this Tuesday is the 150th anniversary of Darwin publishing his book on the origin of the species and the damage that that has done to a number of people. And so I would encourage you and your family, sometime on Tuesday, sit down and read and perhaps read out loud Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, just to remind ourselves and especially to remind our young people that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So don't waste an opportunity. They might hear something about this in school or on a newspaper or on television. Don't waste an opportunity to remind them that what Scripture says, the Word of God says, is that God created the heavens and the earth. So sometime Tuesday, if you would, it'd be an opportunity that you won't get for another year. And take some time individually or maybe as a family, whatever your schedule is, and read through Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 just to reestablish what we believe about the creation of this world. And then one more announcement about tonight. You recognize that there'll be no Awana tonight, and there'll be no prayer meeting this coming Wednesday because of Thanksgiving on Thursday. But tonight at 6 o'clock, when you come at 6, at the front of each aisle here will be a microphone. And the service consists of you individually coming forward as you want to and thanking the Lord for publicly giving thanks to the Lord for something specific that he has done for you. sun comes up in the east, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But what has God done for you specifically this year? And we just would encourage you to think about that this afternoon if you haven't already got your thoughts together. Something that you can share. It is extremely important that we are thankful to the Lord, and not just thankful in general, but very thankful specifically. And the psalmist reminds us over and over again that it is good to give thanks to the Lord, and it's good for you to do that. It's good also for the rest of us to share in the blessing of God in that way. So I would encourage you to come tonight and be prepared to share as we have time. We'll take the time we need, but something that just stands out that I thank the Lord for this, or I thank the Lord for whatever. And it's been a blessing in the time past, and I would trust that it would be tonight, and just encourage you to participate. So tonight at 6 o'clock, and then afterwards, a time of fellowship, a little time of refreshments, not a regular meal, but finger foods. And if you could help us with that, we would appreciate it. But we do look forward to a blessing tonight, but just remember that it's at 6 o'clock rather than our normal 7 o'clock time. We want to devote this service to thoughts about giving of thanks. And so the songs that Chris is going to lead us in, and the choir will be singing, and a message will all be devoted to the subject of giving thanks. And we'll ask Chris now to come and lead us in a song.
Good morning. If you'll take your hymnals and stand, we want to start with number 108. Come, Christians, join to sing. We'll sing all three verses. Please stand. Number 108. Together. Dear Lord, today is a day for praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we give that to you. It's good to come together to sing and to hear from your word. We pray today that you would just stir up in us thoughts, attitudes that are glorifying to you. We pray this in your name. Amen. If you'll turn back to number 2, another good song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It's number 2.
Yeah.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Thanksgiving is directed to God, not just to somebody in general, but to God specifically. And in the Psalms, we are taught, among other things, to magnify the Lord. We do that by singing his praises, ascribing to him his greatness and his goodness. And the choir is going to come and sing a song that calls us all to, oh, magnify the Lord. Choir.
Oh,
You'll take your hymnals again and stand. I'm going to continue our service with number 560, For the Beauty of the Earth. It's number 560. Be seated. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Psalms, number 103, Jonathan's going to come and read our scripture.
Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are just but dust. As for man, his days are like grass,
As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Lord, we are so thankful for your loving kindness toward us, and we bless you for that. Lord, help us to revere you and your word and to obey it. Be with John today as he comes with a message, and open our hearts that we may hear it and heed it. We pray these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Before John comes, we're going to take one more opportunity to sing praise to the Lord. If you'll stand, turn to number 584. It is good to sing praise to the Lord. To sing thy praises, number 584.
Dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. And if you would please be turning to Psalm 103. This is our Thanksgiving season, coming to a peak, if you will, at next Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. We can do it more than one day a year, but it's a time when we, as God's people, as recipients of His grace, as recipients of His provision for our lives, we consider what He has done for us, and we take opportunities to be thankful to Him for these things. And that's what Thanksgiving is all about. And as we look at Psalm 103, I hope we can make it a little more personal than just giving thanks to the Lord for what He has done. It's a very personal psalm. And I trust it'll be a blessing as we talk our way through Psalm 103. But let's have a word of prayer, please, first. Father, it is indeed good to sing your praises. We are thankful. We are reminded of this new song that you put in our hearts, a song of praise to you. We would hope that men would see it and fear the Lord. But it is good to be here to sing your praises. You certainly are worthy of them. You have abundantly blessed us this past year, and we would give thanks. I pray, Lord, as we look at this passage, that you would make it personal to each one of us. These general truths, these broad statements would apply to each one of our lives, because you surely have dealt with your people in terms of your loving kindness and your goodness and your mercy and your grace. We thank you today that you are God and we are people, and that we can know you, we can honor you and serve you through Jesus Christ. So just bless our time together as we look at this very familiar passage. We'll ask that you would work in our hearts and speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever we come to Thanksgiving, we have to realize that in a group such as this, that at least some of us find it difficult to give thanks. We look back at the past year and we say, it's been a tough year. My tough year began in February 25th. And we look at circumstances and we look at our life and our situations and our conditions and the things that we measure life by, and they often are not the way we would have planned them or we would desire them. And sometimes we think maybe they're not even good. We look at them and they say they are to my hurt and my disadvantage. And we, if we're honest, we find it hard to be genuinely thankful. Sometimes we're so far down that we find it hard even to say the words in a shallow sense. I'm not thankful. It's hard to say thank you, Lord. We need to come back to Psalm 103. At least some of us do. I do. Often. To get a perspective on giving of thanks. Not just being thankful, but giving of thanks. And it's important that we do this every now and then, because the Bible is, as I have mentioned before, full of statements concerning the benefit and the profit, the worth of giving thanks to the Lord. Psalm 106, verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. It is to our benefit. It's a good thing. And on the other hand, the Bible has numerous warnings against not being thankful. It's the other side. Not only is it good and beneficial to say thank you, Lord, but it's harmful. It's to our disaster to not be thankful. The world in general, covered in Romans chapter 1, where one of the charges against the world is, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. And the judgment on not honoring him and not giving him thanks is terrible in Romans. He turns them over to their own desires, and it's just a downhill path to judgment. So we need to give thanks from both reasons. It is good to give thanks, and we talk about his honor and his glory and our thanks, because it's for our good. And I'm glad, by the way, this is one of the few things that our government has done right. Now, they don't mean it, but they did it right anyhow. Thursday is a national holiday for giving of thanks. It really is, believe it or not, and they haven't taken it away from us. I don't expect anything from unsaved people on Thursday. I don't expect anything from the government. Just these little platitudes, these little phrases and whatnot. We're so thankful, whatever. It's unnatural for an unsaved person to give thanks, because they don't on one hand, admit the existence of a God to be thankful for, or to, and on the other hand, they just look at their life and say, isn't this the stuff that I've done? The most natural man in Scripture, at least at one point in his life, was Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, when in Daniel chapter 4, he stood on his rooftop and he looked out over the city of Babylon and he said, isn't this the great Babylon that I have built? See? And that's what we expect from unbelievers, and that's fine. They can do no better than to say, hey, this is really good. I'm so thankful, whatever that means. See? But for us, we're different. We are people of the living God. I trust you are. People of the living God by faith in Jesus Christ. See. We are possessors of a new life and a new nature. And we confess that all that we have, all that we are, everything, the whole universe, is an expression of God's grace, His provision for us. And for us, giving of thanks ought to be natural. It would be unnatural for an unbeliever. It doesn't fit them. It fits us. That's our nature by virtue of being Christians. See? I shared in the Sunday school class this morning, every day we ought to wake up singing, awake my soul to joyful lays and sing thy great Redeemer's praise. Face the east, see the sunrise, and sing great is thy faithfulness. See. Or maybe, and I copied those words and put them in your bulletin, and you notice each verse of that song that we inserted in the bulletin is, my heart is filled with thankfulness. See, it's a good song. And that ought to be natural for us to have that as the outflow and that as we sing. But as I said, sometimes it's hard. We hurt emotionally and sometimes we hurt physically. Sometimes we fear, and we live in a time of fear. We fear for our jobs. We fear for relationships and families even. We fear for old age. What's going to happen tomorrow? See? And some of us struggle just day by day by day to make it. See? And to us, it seems out of place to be thankful. There's just so much down in our life that it seems out of place to be thankful. And it's unreasonable to do that, to be thankful. And Psalm 103 takes us out of that and says, these are reasons to be thankful. Think of these reasons. Go through this psalm and you come up with, it is reasonable to give thanks. It is good to give thanks. It is natural to give thanks. Just look at you. Look at me. See? It's a perspective psalm. See? And what's neat about it is at the very beginning, it doesn't let me put it off on you. And I can't say, you ought to bless the Lord. See? It doesn't give me that privilege or whatever to say, you need to be thankful. You need to bless the Lord. Because it doesn't say, bless the Lord, all his people. It says, oh, my soul, bless the Lord. It speaks to me. And you read these words, and it's only speaking to you. It's not speaking to the person next to you. It's one of the most personal beginnings that we have in all of Scripture. It is talking to what's in you, see. It's your heart. It's my heart. I'll try to use more my's and I's today than the you's and whatnot. But it's my heart it's speaking to. It's my soul. It's my inner being, see. And it calls me to make a verbal statement acknowledging God and his being and his greatness and his goodness. And it says, bless the Lord, John, see, or bless the Lord, whatever your name happens to be today, see. It's really personal. You, I, individually, were called to bless the Lord, see. All that is within me, bless his holy name. I think of the name of the Lord, God Almighty, and just run down the list of all his names in Scripture, see? Names that apply to the greatness of his being, names that apply to the greatness of his power, names that apply to the goodness of the Lord. All his name, I bless him, see? I bless that name, I ascribe to it everything he is worth. And then I'm called to think. Don't forget his benefits. Don't be like Hezekiah. And you know the story of Hezekiah. Read in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, or Isaiah chapter 36 and 37, 38, 39. He was sick. He cried to the Lord, said, Lord, I don't want to die. And the Lord says, okay, I'll give you 15 more years. What would you give for 15 more years? See. And that horrible verse in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 25, I think it is, or 35, can't read my writing. Hezekiah did not make any return for the benefit he received, because his heart was proud. Don't forget the Lord's benefits. Don't be like Hezekiah and just say, forget that God gave him those 15 years. See? Sometimes we think of evil and suffering, and the psalmist doesn't say, consider the evil in the world and consider the suffering in the world. He says, consider his benefits to you. Don't forget his benefits to you. See? Remember when Israel was going into the land, the promised land, and the Lord warned them in Deuteronomy. He said, now when you get there, you're going to have cities that you didn't build. You're going to have houses that you didn't build. You're going to have lands that you didn't clear, crops that you didn't plant. You're going to have trees that you didn't nurture, fruit that, you know. You're going to have everything, and when you get it, don't forget, see, that I gave it to you. Of course, Israel immediately forgot. But the Lord says, don't forget that I did that for you. And the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget none of his benefits. And then he gives us five areas that we need to consider. Now, we'll consider the whole psalm, but five things. And just, it's good to run through this list. These are his benefits. These are his works, his things that are for your good. He pardons all your iniquities. O Lord, if thou shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And we sing, and we often sing, about how well it is with our souls. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. See? Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. See? He does pardon iniquities. Whatever guilt and condemnation and judgment I was under, it's gone. Because the Lord pardons iniquities, and I am not to forget that. Peter says if we're having trouble in our life, it's because we have developed short-sightedness and we've forgotten that we are purged from our sins. We cannot forget the forgiveness we have in Jesus Christ. That's number one. Start with that. How can I give thanks? He pardons my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. Sooner or later, biblically. See. Someday, maybe sooner than I know, 1 Corinthians, this corruption will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. And there'll be no more diseases. Interesting verse in Isaiah chapter 38 talking about the glories of Israel in the kingdom. And it ends with, nobody will be there that's sick. There'll be no resident will be sick. Their sins will have been forgiven. When the Lord finally takes away the curse of sin, then all diseases go. See, sometimes in His plan, He heals us in this life, but for sure, for all eternity, I will be well. See, we have the one whom we talked about in Isaiah 53 that says, by His scourging we are healed. See, that's a benefit. That's a benefit. He redeems my life from the pit. The pit in Scripture is usually a figure of talking about destruction. And I will not be destroyed, neither in this life nor the next. See, in this life, He redeems my life from destruction. In the next life, He gives me a body, a resurrection body that death and hell have no claim on, see. He crowns me with loving kindness and compassion. Crowns, winds my head like a wreath. And when I see myself in the mirror, I'm supposed to see loving kindness and compassion on me. That's my life. He crowns me with loving kindness and compassion. Those are heart words. Those are not cold and just that's what God's like. That's what God is like. See, compassion, pity, and loving kindness, His faithfulness, and His dealings in tenderness with us. Sometimes that word for loving kindness is tender mercies. He satisfies my years, or maybe my mouth. It's a funny little Hebrew word that nobody knows what it means. He satisfies my years with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. That's a hard one early in the morning, isn't it? I mean, do you soar like an eagle, or do you stagger like, just kind of. But He gives us good things. When we're tired, we get refreshed. When we're down, we get raised. When we need strength, He gives strength. See, we get through in good shape. He satisfies. And that word satisfies has the idea of abundance. See, almost overflowing. Don't forget any of those things. Now, you have to fill in the details because these are broad categories. But do not forget any of these things. Pardons your iniquities and heals your diseases and redeems your life from the pit. Crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Bless the Lord, your soul. Bless the Lord, my soul. That's what He does, and we fill in the details in my life or in your life, see. He performs righteous deeds and judgments for the oppressed, and He uses Israel as an example, talking about how He revealed Himself to Moses and how He revealed Himself to the children of Israel. And how He first revealed Himself is verse 8. If you remember back in Exodus chapter 34, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. That's how He is with us. He is not our enemy, verse 9. See, He is not always against us. Sometimes we get this idea that God is against me. He's a vengeful God. He's my enemy almost. And the psalmist says, He'll not always strive. That's not always fight against us. He won't keep forever. He won't be just stay that way forever, see. In Isaiah chapter 57, again talking about Israel and God's dealings with Israel. But verse 16 says, I will not contend forever. This is to a nation under judgment. I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would grow faint before me in the breath of those whom I have made. See? He knows us, and he's not going to be angry with us forever. And the reason I know that is verse 18, or verse 10, rather, excuse me. He doesn't give me what I deserve. If he were my enemy, he would give me what I deserved, and rightly so. If that was his goal, to strive with me and to contend with me constantly, see. But verse 10 says, he has not dealt with me according to my sins. He has not rewarded me according to my iniquities. I know that's true, by the way, because I'm here, not dead, see. And you know that's true because you're there and you're not dead yet. He doesn't give us what we deserve. Puritan prayer, talking to the Lord. Sinner that I am, why should the sun give me light? Why should the air supply my breath? Why should the earth bear my tread? Why should its fruits nourish me? Because thy love endured my curse, mercy bore my deserved stripes. He does not give us what we deserve. See? You read Isaiah 53, and it was on him my deserving was laid. My iniquities laid on him. That's why he doesn't give me what I deserve, because he gave Christ what I deserve. See? That's something to be thankful for. Verse 11. He deals with me in terms of loving kindness, however that works out in my life. But as high as the heavens are above, that's how great his loving kindness is to me. That's in biblical terminology. That's immeasurable. You can't measure the height of the heavens. Now, we have some great whiz-bangs that think they can measure the universe, but every time they go out there, they find out there's a little something more. You know, they're working hard at it, but that's not the point. The point is that this is immeasurable. See? Loving kindness. He takes my transgressions in verse 12 and removes them immeasurably far, east and west. You can't measure the distance between them. Micah chapter 7, there's a great song written about verse 18 and 19. Great God of wonders, all thy ways are godlike, matchless, and divine, but the fair glories of thy grace more godlike and immortal shine. Who is a pardoning God like thee, and who has grace so rich and free? See. East to west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. He has not dealt with me according to my sins. Rather, he has dealt with me in verse 13 and 14. Dealt with me as a compassionate father. He made me. He knows me. He knows I'm from dust. And you take a pile of dust and you mold it into something and then take the mold away, and what does it do? There's just no strength. There's nothing to hold it together. He He knows that, see. He knows that. He made me, see. And he deals with me that way. See. He doesn't load me with something I can't bear in my weakness. He doesn't drive me to do something that I can't do. He doesn't put me in situations that I can't survive. He knows what I am. See. He knows that I am temporal. Not going to be here very long. Just a few years, 70, 80 years, whatever he gives me. It'd be just like a flower of the field that the wind blows and it's gone. And you can't even tell where it was. But his loving kindness is everlasting as far as we go that way, and before time and far as we want to go after time, everlasting to everlasting. He deals with me eternally. In loving kindness. What's neat about this psalm is all these things. He could be any way he wants with me. See, if he wanted to be just a vengeful judge, if he wanted to be an angry God, if he wanted to be a destroyer, he could be that, and nobody could say, "What do you think you're doing?" Because he's sovereign. See. Verse 19. But he is like, it's described in these verses because that's the way he chose to be. That's who he is. He's a sovereign God and he's nice to me. Gentle, good, beneficial. See. He's the Lord, sovereign Lord. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. See. And I am not to forget that. I am not to forget. And when you have a God that deals with you that way and you remember how he deals with that and you start saying he did this and he did this and he did this and he did this and all his benefits, then you go out in your front yard and you call the whole universe. You call his angels, the ones that he sends to do his word. See? The ones who are mighty in strength. And you say, "Hey, angels, bless the Lord." And you call all his hosts, his other beings, and maybe we're part of his host. I don't know exactly. We serve him and we do his will. And you call everybody, "Hey, bless the Lord." And you look at the, you go to Beaver Lake and you stand out in the middle of the lake and you see all the hills covered with houses now, but used to be trees. And you say, "Hey, all you works of his, bless the Lord." See? Because that's how God is to me. And when I realize that, then I call the whole universe to bless him. See? I am a recipient of his grace and his mercy. I am a recipient of his benefits. I am under his loving kindness and compassion eternally. And I am called to bless the Lord. So, you have to apply this one. I can't. See, I don't know where you're at exactly. Physically sick, maybe. Emotionally a wreck. Relate to that one. Afraid to go to bed at night because you don't want to wake up in the morning because the next day is going to be just like this day, only maybe even worse. See? Not much good and happy in your life, however you measure good and happy. See, this psalm says that may all be real in your life, but you look at what God has done. You look at who God is, and you look at what he has done. See, And you have to answer the question, what has he done for me? What are his benefits to me? And when you answer that question honestly, then you say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. And so it's a psalm that causes you to think, even as it calls you to give thanks to God for what he has done for you. It's not a general psalm. It's a specific psalm. Your soul, my soul, each one of us individually called to consider what God has done. And when we do that, we'll bless his holy name. Let's pray. Father, just at least for this time of year, help us to think clearly. You have indeed showered us with benefits. May we remember, may we not forget, may we understand, may we see clearly, may we bless you. That we would be people known by our thanks to you, especially at this time of Thanksgiving. May our songs of praise be such that people would see and fear you, that they would know who you are. So take this word to each one of us individually, each one of our souls. You have called us to bless your name. May it be so in each life here. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnal, if you would, please. Turn to number 20. Number 20 is an old song, relatively old, kind of new, 1500s. Sometimes we sing a version of it as a doxology, which means praises, but I think we miss if we just link it to the one verse. It calls, all people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Come before him and rejoice. The Lord, you know, is God. He made us, and he took us for his sheep. Therefore, verse 3 says, we should enter his gates with praise, always. And verse 4 is a good verse. It asks the question, why should we do that? And the answer is, the Lord our God is good. His mercy is forever sure. See? Just a good song. We'll stand and sing all five verses and let it speak to you as you go through the process of giving to God his thanks and the reasons for it, because the Lord our God is good. We'll sing all five verses of number 20, and then Steve, would you come and close in prayer?
Let's pray together. Father of heaven, we are told to give thanks to you, for you are good. Your steadfast love endures forever. And Father, each one of us here are recipients of your steadfast love. We are a people who you have called out to be your flock, your sheep. And you care for us beyond measure. We thank you that we can stand and enjoy and be refreshed daily by you. And Father, in whatever situation, whatever the burdens, whatever the difficulties we may bear, give us, Father, eyes to see how good you have been. And help this to be a time in which we truly are a people of thanksgiving. Bless your word to us. Remind us again in the days ahead how we are to bless the Lord in our souls. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.